This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Big tech launches an advertising blitz as Congress mulls new regulations, plus a major win for Puerto Rico as a federal judge writes off $30 billion of the island's debt. And the pandemic is widening the divide between rich and poor countries.
You have fewer doses coming to Africa, while the West is actually rolling out more booster doses, so it's quite frustrating.
It's Wednesday, January 19th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The Biden administration plans to distribute 400 million free N95 masks to pharmacies and health centers beginning next week. The aim is to encourage Americans to abandon cloth masks in an effort to stop the current wave of Omicron infections. This as the World Health Organization is warning that the pandemic is far from over, following a 20% increase in global cases in the last 7 days. Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus is the Director General of the WHO.
Omicron continues to sweep the world. Last week, there were more than 18 million reported cases. The number of deaths remains stable for the moment, but we're concerned about the impact Omicron is having on already exhausted health workers and overburdened health systems.
Big tech is mounting a major lobbying campaign in Congress as lawmakers consider barring online platforms from giving preferential treatment to their own goods and services. We're exclusively reporting that an industry group representing tech giants will begin running ads today, claiming that new regulation could make it difficult to provide free or low-cost services such as Google Maps or Amazon Prime deliveries. Apple has previously said the Senate legislation would weaken popular smartphone privacy tools that it rolled out last year. The group behind the ads represents the likes of Amazon, Google, Facebook parent Meta Platforms, and Apple, among others. The Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduled to debate the American Innovation and Choice Online Act on Thursday. January 6th, investigators in Congress have subpoenaed former President Trump's advisor Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani led a legal team in the wake of the 2020 election that made unsupported allegations of a conspiracy to steal the presidential election for Joe Biden. The committee also served Trump campaign lawyer Jenna Ellis, lawyer Sidney Powell, and campaign advisor Boris Epstein with subpoenas. And New York's attorney general has uncovered new evidence that Trump and the Trump Organization falsely valued assets for economic benefit. The findings came in court papers asking a judge to order the former president, as well as Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr., to comply with civil subpoenas for its fraud investigation. A lawyer for the Trumps couldn't be reached. It's a new dawn for Puerto Rico. A federal judge has written down more than $30 billion in the island's debt. It's the largest ever restructuring of municipal debt in U.S. history and comes at a time when Puerto Rico is contending with a host of other economic challenges. Here with more on the story is markets reporter Jim Wilhite. Hey, Jim.
Hey there.
Would you break down this bankruptcy plan for us? What exactly has been agreed to?
$30.5 billion in public debts are being written off. Puerto Rico's creditors are going to get $7.4 billion in new debt and another $7 billion in cash. They'll also get some tradable securities that pay out if the economy improves.
Were Puerto Rico's creditors okay with this plan?
The judge overseeing the case in a ruling noted that not everybody is happy with it. But big investors, including BlackRock Financial Management, Silver Point Capital, they backed the plan.
Jim, for anyone who wasn't tracking this multi-year effort by Puerto Rico to restructure its finances, how big of a deal is this for the island?
Well, bottom line, the cost of financing Puerto Rico's debt for the next 10 years is going to fall by more than two-thirds to around $666 million from $2.1 billion before it defaulted. And the restructuring itself has also been expensive in terms of fees for lawyers, consultants, and that's climbed to around $1 billion. So now that will stop. All that means that freeing up cash for the spending on Puerto Rico itself, rather than paying bondholders and bankers.
Okay, this bankruptcy plan may be historic, but it doesn't solve all of Puerto Rico's problems. What other fiscal challenges does the island face?
A sprawling bureaucracy, a shrinking tax base, and infrastructure that could use an upgrade. The bankruptcy judge said that this debt does not mean that there won't be further investigations into how Puerto Rico's built up this debt in the first place. And both political leaders and investors have been calling for an audit.
That was Markets reporter Jim Wilhite. Jim, thank you.
Thanks.
And coming up, the pandemic is worsening the divide between emerging and advanced economies on everything from GDP to childhood health. We'll speak to our correspondent in Uganda about the Great Divergence after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The COVID-19 pandemic is widening the gap between rich and poor countries. Labeled the Great Divergence, the International Monetary Fund says this disparity threatens to reverse years of economic progress. The pandemic is also hurting the youngest generations, with millions of children having missed essential vaccinations because of lockdowns. Nicholas Barrio is the Journal's correspondent for Uganda and Africa's Great Lakes region, and he joins us now. Nicholas, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
First off, could you paint us a picture of the COVID-19 vaccine uptake across Africa right now?
So in Africa, statistics really show that the uptake is quite low, according to data from WHO. We have around 8 billion doses so far given out of COVID-19 vaccines, and only 3% of these have been administered in Africa. And then in terms of vaccinations data, only 8% of Africans are fully vaccinated. This is a really far cry compared to more than 60% in many high-income countries.
Is that leading to frustration that wealthier countries may be hoarding vaccines, you know, rolling out third and fourth shots when many people haven't received a single dose at all?
Oh, yes, this is quite frustrating. In DRC, you have a country which is the third largest in terms of population in Africa, where less than 1% of the population is vaccinated. So this is rather frustrating because you have fewer and fewer doses coming into people's arms in Africa, while the West is actually rolling out more booster doses. So it's quite frustrating.
Overall, Nicholas, what does this mean for development and growth on the continent? How detrimental has this pandemic been?
So the impact has been enormous because you had many economies contracting for the first time in 3 decades across the continent. And in particular, the most affected sector here is countries depending on tourism for the bulk of their earnings. Particularly when you look at countries like, again, Ethiopia, Kenya, Nigeria, Senegal, that really depend so much on tourism, have less than 15% of their population vaccinated.
Your most recent reporting for the journal looks at how the pandemic is particularly disrupting childhood vaccination campaigns and the consequences of that disruption. What did you discover?
We did discover that the world registered the highest number of children who missed routine vaccinations since 2009. In the course of our reporting, we did discover that this is down to the fact that because of the pandemic, many countries in Africa closed down transportation, some hospitals closed down, a lot of children ended up missing these routine vaccinations.
And what threat does that pose to children? I think many people in our audience, and frankly myself included, may not be aware of the risk of measles and some of these other diseases that are targeted by these childhood vaccination campaigns.
So this creates a situation where you have a lot of kids that are not immune to measles. So this creates a situation whereby you have a threat of outbreaks, because you have kids that are in a community, that are in towns, that are in villages, that have not been vaccinated against a disease like measles, which is easily preventable.
Just how severe of a reversal of the public health gains that have been made in recent years is this?
This is quite a big reversal, because in a continent like Africa, which traditionally lags behind other regions in terms of vaccinations, you have fewer people getting vaccinated. Some public facilities have closed down as a result of this. So in terms of other diseases, there has also been a spike in death from diseases like tuberculosis, like malaria, and even HIV. So the impact on the health system is quite enormous.
Just to be clear, Nicholas, is the problem that you're seeing in your reporting, for instance, that health clinics cannot run simultaneously both a COVID-19 vaccination campaign and a childhood vaccination campaign?
Yes, that's part of the problem. And then more so, you have these health facilities using the same, for instance, wards. So wards that were previously set aside to vaccinate children have now been repurposed into vaccination wards for COVID-19. So they have nowhere to conduct routine vaccinations for children.
Yeah, and it is scary to think about what happens if these vaccine campaigns for kids aren't restarted quickly. I think, you know, writing this off as just a missed year for kids really misses the point that the health of a country's children is in so many ways an indicator of its long-term future prosperity, is it not?
It becomes hard to catch up with these lost years. So you have a lost year in 2020, 2021. Now there are fears that with more variants coming, these children will miss more years, which is quite a big problem going forward. The threat to these missed vaccinations comes from the fact that most of these affected children come from congested places that, for instance, you have cities that are overpopulated like Kinshasa, you have places that are prone to conflicts like South Sudan, like Somalia, like the Central African Republic. These areas do provide fertile transmission ground for outbreaks. So in this case, it adds another layer of a threat. Not only is this a missed opportunity to vaccinate children, but the children that are vulnerable are in areas that once outbreaks strike, they will leave a devastating effect.
Nicholas Barrio is the Wall Street Journal correspondent for Uganda and Africa's Great Lakes region. Nicholas, thank you so much for the time.
Hey, you're welcome.
And finally, Americans can now order COVID-19 at-home rapid tests for free from a new government website. It's covidtests.gov and is actually part of the U.S. Postal Service's website. Journal reporter Alex Janin took it for a spin.
There is a limit, so it's 4 tests per household. You put in your name, you put in your address, and that's all you need to do. You don't have to enter any payment information. The government anticipates it will take about 7 to 12 days once you order these tests on the website for them to actually get to you. I was able to order 4 tests for my apartment, and when my partner went on to try to order to the same apartment, he got an error message that said, sorry, you've already reached the maximum.
Janin says there have been reports on social media of that causing problems for people in multifamily units, though so far the government's response has been to point out the website isn't your only option.
That comes on the heels of the government's requirement for private insurers to cover COVID-19 tests over the counter now. So even folks who say, well, I want to get more than 4, or there are more than 4 people in my household, they should be able to, if they have private health insurance, get those COVID tests for free at the pharmacy as well.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.